A worship leader has come out and explained why she can no longer play Hillsong, Bethel, or Elevation worship. And a 13-year-old girl explains that she is being so bullied at school that she is contemplating suicide, all because her mom has joined the pornographic website OnlyFans. Stay with us as we look at these and other stories on the 5:11 News.
Now, there are two kinds of people in the world, only two kinds, not black and white, not rich and poor. There are those who are dead in sin, and there are those who are dead to sin.
After three nights of unbridled lawlessness across London, the contagion is spreading.
The problem is that God has already judged this. He has judged murder already. I don't need to question it. I don't need to ask and wonder what his plan is.
We're commanded as Christians not to participate in the works of darkness, but expose them.
Welcome back to the 5:11 News. I'm your host, Chad Davidson of Good Fight Ministries. And on today's episode, we have, a praise report. And then on the other side, we have something quite disturbing that is happening that is also indicative of the times in which we live in. But I wanted to also welcome those who are new to the show, who maybe have found our episode we did covering Megan Fox, as well as her boyfriend Machine Gun Kelly and their trip to hell. And I want to just point out, please share that if you haven't seen it. It does a great job, hopefully, of presenting the gospel clearly to people and recognizing the times that we do live in and how serious they are. So please go check that out. You can check that out on our Good Fight Ministries channel. And always make sure you subscribe here to our Good Fight Radio Show channel. But nonetheless, this is important. This is something I would say is a praise report. And if you guys didn't know Good Fight Ministries, we did a series titled Bethel or Beth-Hell. And specifically, we examine the teachings of Bill Johnson and Bethel Church. Now, that's not the only teaching we've done. We've also done teachings alongside showing Hillsong, not just Carl Lentz, but all the way up to the top, teaching not only false doctrine, but also being very wishy-washy on some very core issues and doctrines, having ties together with other non-biblical groups. And we also had what happens to be the most downloaded episode of Good Fight Radio Show of all time, Stephen Furtick is Dangerous. So we have these teachings. We'll put all the links in the descriptions. We'll put all the links in the description for this episode. And these things are really, really important for us to understand. And just yesterday, we did a live show covering Bethel, because I've even found when I talk about the young lady who's come out of playing this music and has a strong conviction about not playing this stuff anymore, specifically at worship services for the church. But I've seen the pushback from those who still enjoy Bethel, still enjoy their music, like some of the teachers that come out of there and some of the worship leaders that come out of there, and some of the pushback. And you see so many of them using the patented arguments that were now given on their Bethel Rediscovered series that they have on their website. Sadly enough, Bethel Rediscovered, all we discovered is everything that we said happened to be true. And when they tried to spin it, it only spun themselves a deeper web. And for those who actually care about truth and care about people coming out of false teachings, I believe you will say, stay clear, stay clear. So go back to the Good Fight Ministries YouTube channel and you can check out the video series we just did, specifically answering the Rediscovered series. So hopefully you guys will be blessed by that. And I think that fits right together with what we're going to be talking about today, because a young worship leader by the name of Mackenzie Morgan put out a post on her Facebook. And I have to say, I saw this shared all over the place and was reading it and was really blessed by a lot of the things she said. I don't agree with everything, and I think she's probably coming from a doctrinal position that I don't hold to, but there was a lot of good to be said on there. So I'm actually going to read from it so you guys can hear it, and you guys will see the picture that is accompanied with it that will make sense with some of the wordage. But what she said was, okay, I'm not wanting to make this post for the sake of controversy. I just cannot stay silent about this issue any longer. You have been warned. Leading the music part of our worship service at church looks a lot different now for me than it used to in this picture. I've kept pretty quiet about my convictions on mainstream worship music, but since it is such an important part of worship and the modern evangelical church, I realize just because not everyone agrees with my position, it is not a reason to stay silent. So here it goes from your volunteer loud person. I want to point something out. I got to say, I've been here too, not in the place where I'm leading worship and playing Bethel and so forth, but in the sense that, hey, not everyone's going to like the things that you say. Not everyone's going to like you pointing out these things. And they're totally fine if you expose wickedness, like in Ephesians 5:11. But then when you're actually calling out people who claim to be a part of the church, then they get really upset. But the fact is that 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17 says specifically that the word of God is to be used for rebuke, for correction, for the training of righteousness. And the fact is that we don't want people involved in these false movements of the spirit that aren't of the spirit, but of another spirit, and then being taken down a road that leads them away from Christ. In fact, in our series, one of the things that we talked about was sozo prayer. And interestingly enough, not long after we had done the series on Bethel, we visited Texas, where a brother in Christ who's been on this show before, named Travis Key, was out sharing the gospel. And in Texas, we ran into a young lady who said, hey, I'm actually a believer, when we were trying to share the gospel with her. But what she believed was quite different than the God of the Bible. She said that she used to be involved with Bethel. She said that she did a sozo prayer. And in that sozo prayer, Jesus came to her and spoke to her and explained to her that she was too close-minded. And really, all religions are true. This is why 1 John 4 tells us to test the spirits, because that spirit wasn't Jesus, that spirit was Satan. And it wasn't the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit will speak of Jesus and testify of Jesus. So obviously the spirit that came to that woman left her away from Christ. And when she was asked a question that we typically ask, and we say, hey, you believe you're saved, you and all this, and you believe in your doctrine or whatever, I've been stabbed in the back. I'm dying, bleeding out. You have 30 seconds to tell me, what is the gospel? What must I do to be saved? And what must I do to get to heaven? And she said, you're already in heaven. Well, I'm bleeding and I'm dying. This isn't heaven, because what Jesus promised is a place that he went to prepare for us. What Jesus promised is a place where every tear will be wiped away, and death will also be thrown in to the lake of fire alongside Hades. So these are important things, and these are doctrines of demons that have come out of there. We don't think it's some small thing, and we believe sozo prayer that has led so many different people into praying. Guys, check this out. Remember, this is a pastor from Agora locally here said this. A woman on video that we have in our series on sozo prayer said this, that once she was led into these sozo prayers, she was able to forgive God. A pastor said that Jesus asked him to forgive him. Jesus asked for forgiveness of a pastor. This is wicked. This is not small. And when these things were brought up, and when we brought this up, there was a lot of backlash from those who enjoy Bethel music, from those who enjoy Bethel as a whole, and, you know, Pharisee and all those names are thrown out. But the fact is we care about people, and if you have a shepherd's heart, you care about God's word, and you care about his people being led astray, and the blind leading the blind into a ditch, and people going to a fellowship, and people going to a church that keeps them at an arm's distance from the true Jesus. So this is very serious. I'll keep reading. For a long time, I felt extremely convicted singing and supporting popular worship bands such as Hillsong, Elevation, Bethel Music, etc. No one else saw anything wrong with it, so I told myself it was okay and thought there was something wrong with me for not liking what I was singing. Well, I realize now the conviction of the Holy Spirit was guiding me all along. One day, I decided I was going to figure it out, once and for all, black and white. So I studied and studied and studied some more. I researched what these bands and their churches were teaching to their congregation on Sunday mornings and behind the scenes. And unfortunately, I was met with a terrible feeling of grief and sadness for what I was supporting. And guys, this is what happens when you dig into this. And I believe that a lot of those pastors that I do think actually do love the Lord and are making really bad decisions, and I pray the Lord brings them out of that, I think that they really need to look at these things in depth and not have willful ignorance on some things and saying, oh, they've already answered that, when the answer is not sufficient. Typically, when questions keep coming up and keep coming up, there's a reason. It's because you haven't given a sufficient answer for it. So we need to make sure we're checking out that. Now she says, no matter what, we must all agree with this. Theology matters. I'll give you an amen on that. I can't even stress that enough. It matters if a song is weak in theology and is not accurately displaying the holiness of our God. It matters if churches are spreading a prosperity gospel that is different from the gospel found in Scripture. It matters that each Sunday churches pay royalties to these churches in order to be able to sing their music, furthering their church's outreach and their false gospel message. I had to sit in the fact that I had supported these churches with my money, time, and was opening up the doors for others to discover their false teachings. Call me crazy, call me legalistic, call me whatever you want to. I know it's not what anyone wants to hear. Music plays on our emotions, but maybe it's time we start looking at the Scriptures to see what God truly calls for in worship and get over what we want. The saddest part for me is that people will nod their heads and agree with me, but ultimately they don't care. I can muster up all the words in the dictionary to pull up on your heartstrings, but I can't make you care. Only God can. But I wanted to point out something she had said earlier in there, because she talks specifically about Stephen Furtick and some of their doctrines and why, when she studied all these things, she found some really problematic instances of their doctrine being dangerous. She said, the individual problems are too numerous and lengthy for me to list, but I cannot support these churches such as Elevation and the teachings of Stephen Furtick for his belief in modalism, which is the belief that God is not one being and three persons, but that God switches into modes of each person of the Trinity. Folks, that is heresy. As for Bethel, that one should be pretty obvious. Now, I will say this with Stephen Furtick. He is a huge fan of T.D. Jakes. I believe he brought a wheelbarrow full of money to T.D. Jakes, who is a modalist without a doubt. And Stephen Furtick has taught doctrines at his church that absolutely taught modalism. He's even screamed out that he himself is God Almighty. He has also told people that verses, specifically Charlemagne the God, she specifically told him that verses in which Jesus is saying that he is the way, the truth, and light, no man comes to the Father but through him, that really that's an opening for more people to be able to be saved, not less, in terms of what your views are on God. And that is not the only teaching that is dangerous from Stephen Furtick. He has taught over and over again some really horrific things, just not understanding the Scripture, being very unqualified and ignorant of what the Scriptures actually teach. And his teachings are, in fact, dangerous. And I hope you can check out the teaching we did called Stephen Furtick is Dangerous to get a little more on that, because it is important. And she said that Bethel is obvious. And for some people, it's not. For some people, I've read their articles. I'm like, wow, how aren't you getting this? You seem very discerning in a lot of ways. This is the case where you really do have to do some research and check out what they believe. See some of the things that they share online and so forth. And the fact is that Bethel is quite dangerous. In that series, we go over a number of things, the treasure hunting that they do, the false miracles, the fact that they command people specifically to graduate from their school of supernatural ministry, they demand that they have false prophecies. They're demanding them to be false prophets. This is heartbreaking. It's truly, truly heartbreaking. So we have to look at those things and call it out for what it is. She said, I know that not everyone will agree with me, and that's okay, but just because something is popular doesn't make it biblical. Of course, we can't sit back and not do our own studying and research. Look at whose songs you're singing. Read their church's doctrine. See what they preach, teach, and believe. But don't stop there. Don't compare it to your traditions or what you think is right. Compare it to Scripture. Scripture is the ultimate authority, not me, not your pastor, not the world, only God. There are no gray areas in God's word. His word tells us it is sufficient for every good work. And I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I believe that a lot of what she's saying there is sincere and true. And it should be a very frightening warning to all believers out there. Recognize and see what you are positing and what you are endorsing and whose name is at the bottom of those worship lyrics that your congregation is singing. This doesn't mean, you know, someone's going to be perfect in this. And I know every band and I know all this research, but guys, we should be paying attention. And, you know, Lord willing, you could write your own music too. Sing a new song to the Lord. Amen. And you could dig in and care about what God's word has to say. You know, in Psalm 119, I believe it's verse 56, specifically when it talks about the themes of our psalms, the themes of our songs should be God's word. We look at God's word and we say, I want my songs, the songs of my life, the songs of my days and all of my pilgrimage to be according to your testimony, to be according to your law, to be according to your word, because this is the thing that we need to glorify in, because we have been given the scriptures. I can always go back to the scriptures to test the spirits that are being offered to people at Bethel Church and at Bethel School of Supernatural Ministry. This is so vital for us to understand, so crucial for us to get, because if we don't get this, we are going to lead people astray. They are going to be following doctrines from Bethel, and it is dangerous. Now, I encourage you guys to check out the series that we did on them, Bethel or Bethel, examining the teachings of Bill Johnson and Bethel Church. I do not think you will regret it. And also check out what has become, I guess, a 6-part series as we look at their Rediscovering series, and check that out. I wanted to also talk about, and you know, it's good to examine the church. You know, first let's make sure what's going on in our own household, but then it's also good to look at what is happening to young children around the world, what is happening online. You know, the problem, one of the most dangerous things I think in American culture is feminism. I know that sounds really controversial, but the fact is that there's nothing wrong. And when somebody says, what is feminism? And the definition is that women and men should have the same rights. That's not the definition that the world offers as feminism. It's really not whatsoever. What the world typically now is offering is feminism. You get to see on your TV every day, free sex, free abortion, not free in terms of costs, but free in terms of guilt. Same thing with the sex, because it does have a steep cost. Look at the STD rate in young people today. These costs they're extreme. They're warned about in scripture over and over again, reaping what we sow and so forth. And the fact is that we are being lied to. We are being told that women need to, like Beyonce sings, why aren't we just like a man? We should be like a man when it comes to our sexual proclivities and so forth. And by the way, you're not a man because you're a fornicator or adulterer. The truth is that you're a petulant child. The truth is that you're perverted, as the Bible says. It's nothing to brag about that you use women, treat them as objects, and then call yourself a feminist, because that's typically what happens from the male side. And from the women's side, it is a sad, sad display what's going on. And you see how, when it comes to those of the liberal persuasion, the fact is that they push this narrative that sex work, just as I believe it was Kids Magazine's Teen Vogue that talked about sex work as an okay profession, that it was totally fine to be involved in prostitution and so forth. And God hates it. And the fact is that it's God's law, it's God's morals that we are supposed to be guided by his word, his standard. And the fact is that these things are wicked. These are abominable. That sin is a snare for all people in every nation. And when I read this, I want you to hear the outcry from this young girl concerning specifically what she's having to deal with because of her own mother starting a pornography page under OnlyFans. And I hope you don't know what OnlyFans is, but the fact is that OnlyFans is a website typically used in order for people to sell themselves personally to other people on a monthly rate in order to get finances for showing them their body, for whoring themselves out. And this is heartbreaking. And I wanted to give that background because a young lady actually wrote this down on a Reddit forum. She says, I've been depressed and suicidal because of my mom's OnlyFans. She said, I'm 13 and my mom is 33. Things at school were never great. I'm sort of short, so I get picked on some, but it was manageable. That was until one of my classmates showed me a picture of my mom naked. I almost had a panic attack and had to be excused from the classroom. I ended up not showing up to school for a few days as I faked sick. I was hoping that things would cool off, but they didn't. As soon as I got to school, almost everyone in my class was staring and laughing at me. This has been going on for about a week now. I was wondering how my classmates even got the pictures, and apparently my mom advertises her OnlyFans on her personal Twitter account. Some students from my school follow her, so they were able to see the nudes, and they have been spread everywhere. I don't even have a Twitter, so I didn't even know about any of this. The worst part is when I confronted my mom about this, she told me I was overreacting and that sex work is basically the same as working at a bank or a grocery store. She also said that it makes her feel good about herself and that I should be happy that she's more confident now. I told the principal, but they can't suspend thousands of students or take anyone's phones. I've been crying in my room every day for the past week. I don't think I can take it anymore. Guys, could you imagine that? I mean, how absolutely heartbreaking that a young girl is going through this, and instead of her mother having any shame, she looks at her and says, you should be happy for me. You should be okay with this. This is what the Bible says. 2 Timothy 3, but realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come. For men, and this is not only speaking of men, this is man in humankind. Men will be lovers of self. Oh, self-love. Okay. Lovers of money. Huh. She's getting paid to show off her nakedness. Boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossip, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. How about every one of those sickos that is paying money to see that mommy naked? Holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. Avoid such men as these. I wanted to point out also the unloving there is the Greek word storge. Coming before, canceling out the storge. The storge is family love. Similar to we have words like atheist or agnostic, right? Atheist, without God. Agnostic, without knowledge. And here we have without family love. This woman not even loving her own child enough to take down her naked pictures of herself so she can financially dig in. It's just sad and heartbreaking. But here's what it says that these men who love pleasure, this is what it says, verse 6. Among them are those who enter into households and captivate weak women weighed down with sins, led on by various impulses. You see that? These sickos, they're on OnlyFans, subscribing and paying monthly to see these women naked. They're inside of households, captivating weak women weighed down with sins who are led by various impulses. Impulses like the love of money. Impulses like I love showing my body off and having power over men that are paying money to see this nakedness. And not even their own daughter coming up to them and saying, Mommy, I'm getting bullied. I want to die, can stop them from their insatiable need for the money and for their relevance and for their power, for their nakedness. This is heartbreaking. Both the wicked men who look at this, who pay money for this, and the women that are practicing it. No one gets out of it. Don't think that you get out of purity culture by somebody saying, oh, well, you can't tell women how to dress, or you can't control someone's thoughts and so forth. In the Bible, it actually tells us, and I hear youth group people actually saying that, churches saying this, professing Christians saying that. In the Bible, I'm not supposed to eat meat in front of somebody that stumbled. Why on earth would we not say, let's not also put out our flesh in order to get someone else to fall in the flesh? We are not supposed to cause our brother to stumble, and that doesn't matter what it is. That is absolutely heartbreaking. And I think about this. I think about what the Lord said to Israel. Specifically, when Israel had been taken by God and picked up They were like a baby, still with their umbilical cord in, picked up, cleaned, and washed. And he gave them fine things, made them look beautiful and adorned them. In Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 25, it says, this was the reaction. You built yourself a high place at the beginning of every street and made your beauty abominable. It's like the proverb that says, like gold in a pig's snout is a beautiful woman who shows no discretion. These aren't beautiful women. They have no shame. And they're gold in a pig's snout when they're doing this. It says, and you spread your legs to every passerby and multiplied your obscene practice. This is exactly what's happening. They've multiplied the obscene practice of sensuality, and perverts are paying money to see them. And they are opening their legs to every passerby. And not even their child's life is more important to them than this need. And it's heartbreaking. And the fact is that this woman, their daughter, all the friends who have pictures, who I'm guessing, if they're 13 years old and have pictures of this, not just from the Twitter page, but maybe they have access through their parents and so forth. All of these wicked, wicked young children, don't think they can't be wicked at that age. They certainly can be. I know I was at 13. And the fact is that they all need the gospel. And the gospel is the only thing that saves. The gospel is the only thing that took a shameful act like being ripped, punched, bludgeoned, I mean, a beard ripped out, mocked, and hanging naked on a tree, and took that and say, I'm taking this. I'm taking your shame. That was Jesus Christ taking our shame. He is the only one who did it for us, so that when it comes to these things, even if you've fallen into these lies, whether it's addiction to pornography, the practice thereof, sex tapes, whatever it may be, even if you've fallen into this, Jesus Christ has taken our shame, and we go to him in repentance. And we recognize that Jesus Christ died for me. He died in open shame. And he says, tetelestai, paid in full. And we repent. We turn. I have a heart change, a mind change that leads to a change of action. We turn from our sinful ways. We turn to him. We place our anxieties, our cares, and everything's at the cross. And he has tetelestai. He has paid it in full. This is Chad Davidson. And this is the 5:11 News.
The 5:11 News with Chad Davidson has been brought to you by Good Fight Ministries, bringing you news and commentary from a Christian perspective. This show can be heard every Friday wherever podcast shows are available, or visit 511news.org. Thank you for joining us, and we look forward to being with you next week on the 5:11 News.